Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Greetings and welcome, fans of the DC Universe, schmoes, popcorn talkers, and illegitimate children of Johnny Laquasto. This is DC Movie News. I am Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
Johnny Laquasto, just open up the lunch pail. Let's get cracking here.
You're not even going to comment about your illegitimate children?
Huh?
Huh?
They're on
board. They're legitimate. Why would I comment about it?
Welcome. We are apologizing for starting a little bit late. We had technical issues. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Those that are watching us live, those that are watching us after, that's irrelevant. It doesn't really matter to you. How's everybody doing this week?
We're doing well. I'm excited. We got a lot of news today. Not just speculation.
About. Yeah, considering we had nothing last week, now we have a little too much, perhaps.
There's a lot, you know, there's a lot to talk about, including some breaking news that just happened today. I had a great week. I was very, very lucky to be invited by Miss Meredith Placco from the Marvel show to the debut of Throne of Atlantis.
Meredith Placco, is she, what's her Twitter handle?
M. Placco, I believe.
Is it? Okay, I was thinking of someone else.
Right, M. Placco. Cool.
Part of the Marvel show.
So yeah, so I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. I got to see Throne of Atlantis, which is a totally different experience seeing an animated film in an audience.
Mm.
You know, you normally don't get to see these. Like, it's been like since Mask of the Phantasm, really.
How big was the audience?
I was like, it was felt about 100 or so strong. It was at the Paley Center.
So okay. You feel special because you were one of them.
I do feel special.
I think
do feel
you
special,
are special,
not necessarily just because of that. That more because of just the positive affirmation that my mother instilled in me growing up as a child in Long Island, that I was special and I could do what I wanted.
I know
in
you
world.
Asked me on a date there and I couldn't make it, so I just wanted to publicly apologize that
and
I couldn't
this
come
is the
with
first
you.
I heard about it. So
yes,
good stuff.
You didn't
guys.
Ask me. You didn't yes, ask me.
I did not okay, ask. Good. I did not ask. Okay.
Well, how was the film? Tell us about it.
Well, I loved it.
Okay.
I thought it was great. I thought, they're really doing this kind of thing where with the DC direct-to-video movies, they're doing a couple, like, sort of New 52-ish, although they're not calling it New 52, but they're in a continuity. So this movie basically takes place after Justice League War, which was, like, one of the last ones, also off of Son of Batman. And then, you know, they'll do something, like, that's out of it, like Dark Knight Returns. So we're going to be expecting about three of these a year. It was super cool.
So Joff94 says that he loved it, but it was too short. Do you think
they
it's too
are,
short?
They are really short. It's only 72 minutes. And I know some other people thought that there were parts of the story, the original Geoff Johns story, that were eliminated. And, like, look, it's just like any kind of book-to-movie translation, even more so. There's a lot of material that has to be boiled down. But, dude, what did you think of Nathan Fillion? He was so funny as Green Lantern. They gave him such incredible lines. And the guy who plays the Flash... there were just laugh out loud moments, and what I basically took away from that, I was going to talk about this later, but you know we'll talk about it.
Sure,
sure. Rosario Dawson was in it too.
Rosario Dawson is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She is.
Jerry O'Connell,
great in top
is Superman. Sean Astin is Shazam. So they're getting
stacking.
Really good casts.
Yeah.
And
it's funny because Sean Astin is like 5'2".
Right,
he's
but
like
that's
so
the beauty of animation. Is you
I
can
know,
be whoever you are. The thing, Johnny, that I really take away from these films is the tone. Like, just like we talked about Assault on Arkham, which you were a fan of after
which
you watched
wasn't
it.
Wasn't much longer than 72 minutes.
No, they're all about that time. Yeah. They're going to be about that time. The tone, they get the humor right, and it still takes itself seriously. They're much darker than anything Marvel's done in years, or really has tried to do. They've been successful with these animated films for years. These are the blueprints that the new movie should be looking towards.
Most importantly, were there any nude scenes like in Assault on Arkham?
No, you didn't get that nude scene like you did with a Harley Quinn.
It would be awkward because you were in the theater this time, so you know.
You can't enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. No pause, rewind, Roxy.
Gotta sit there and keep your cool.
Gotta keep your cool. And by cool,
exactly.
You mean pants on.
You know,
so we had some last-minute breaking news today.
See what's, okay.
The Hollywood Reporter and every other news site in the world has reported on the fact that, unfortunately, it is with heavy heart that we report was Heavy Hardy that we report.
Ooh, I
that
knew,
Tom
I knew
Hardy
it was coming.
Has dropped out of the Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
What's up here?
I think it's because he's shooting a movie called The Revenant, if I'm saying that correctly, and the production's going on way longer than it was expected, and since he's already signed on for that, he has to finish that movie first, and supposedly the timing's not going to work out.
By how much? Like, not going to work out enough that they didn't want to just push back Suicide Squad? Clearly.
I don't think they could push it back for one guy when they have all these things planned. I mean, or
well,
maybe
he was the main guy. And now the report, everybody's reporting, we don't know how substantiated it is that, that they're looking at Jake Gyllenhaal, who's very hot off his non-nomination for Nightcrawler.
All right. All right,
uh-oh.
Let's talk about this
Roxy's
for a second.
Roxy's going to get on a high horse.
I knew that was going to be bait.
I'm just livid because he was my number one to win this year. I think he's so incredibly awesome, so I would love to see him in this movie.
Well, I guess you can sure pick him.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. A little crazy. I got a thing for the crazies.
Yep.
But, you know, I think that this would be a great role for him. There was talks about him playing Joker at one point. And
he's talked about it for everything because he's, like, one of the best actors working now.
Ever.
I watched a whole movie of him just in a car making phone calls the whole time.
Pretty much what it was. But, you know, I just feel like...
Lock.
I don't understand...
Lock.
I don't know that one.
He's
amazing music video. He even makes music videos good, guys.
Came
he's
out this
incredible.
Year. It's called Lock, and it's just Tom Hardy making a lot of phone calls.
I was thinking of the movie with the other guy who's the bike messenger. The movie, it was really bad. I watched it on an airplane. The other guy that's in 500 Days of Summer.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yes. He plays
Premium Rush?
Yeah. Such a bad movie.
Don John?
I'm talking about. Forget it.
Yeah.
Not Don John. Didn't see it. Continue, Roxy. Sorry.
I'm just saying I want to see Jake in as many things that I can possibly see him in, so this wouldn't upset me, but I just can't believe Tom Hardy's gone. I like Tom Hardy a lot. Yeah. I was a big
Look,
fan.
I guess if you're going to put a Band-Aid on a massively hemorrhaging wound, that Gyllenhaal is a good Band-Aid, but I was really excited to see Tom Hardy as Rick Flagg. A lot of people have said, like, oh, is Tom Hardy being wasted as Rick Flagg? We don't really know much about that character, and I think that's what was so exciting about it. I think the guy can do anything. I was really excited about this. I don't know if I buy the scheduling thing. Like, there had to be some other reason. I hope
I
it's not Will Smith
right.
freaking out.
I'm
I don't
saying,
know.
That's
you
what
think?
They're giving out. So.
You really hate Will Smith.
No, I
you
don't
ever
don't.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not, well, because, you know, just the things that I've heard. I really wanted to see this movie, but it seemed like that deck was so stacked with this cast, it almost seemed like it was not going to happen.
So now do you feel like it's less stacked? Because I love Tom Hardy, but I feel like it is so stacked. It's still so stacked, and with casting Jake, it would be
Margot
just
Robbie's
as
still
stacked.
In it. Margot
like,
Robbie's still in it.
Yeah, she is.
I
so
mean,
why
just,
don't, you know?
Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Hardy have completely different, if we're looking physicality-wise, they have totally different frames. To me, Tom Hardy would fit the character more than Jake Gyllenhaal will, but maybe he'll bulk up.
And I agree with LaQuesta.
He's at his skinniest because of Nightcrawler. He looks a little, he's got to eat
some
steak.
He can bulk up. He was in Prince of Persia. He was in End of Watch. He can bulk up, but it's just not the same thing. Like, I don't see him leading an elite military squadron in the same way that I see Hardy, and that's all, and I will get over it, but I'm going to be honest. You know, you guys know, I tend to be pretty positive about most of this stuff. I'm a little upset right now. I'm a little hurt. It's new. It just happened. I need to live with this.
Well, I mean...
We're getting some comments in the chat about it. So Unlobo says, I may be alone on this one, but thank God Tom Hardy dropped out. I'm not saying he was going to drag the movie down or anything. I'm just saying the role was such small potatoes. Dear God, seriously, Rick Flagg.
Whoa, okay.
Well, that's the
thing.
I
some people were feeling like that.
You could be right, but I guess my argument to that was you haven't read the script. So how do you know how good the role of Rick Flagg was in this particular script?
I mean,
do we think that they'll change the role now?
No.
Or change the size of the role.
Well, the movie's not slated until August 5th, 2016.
Right.
So we got a little bit of time.
Anyway, moving on from that, that's new. We don't really know much more about that. Let's talk about the big rumor of the week that started off the week really huge. And that was the notion that Batman v Superman was split into two movies. This was a big shocker. Somebody with very moderate to poor Photoshop skills, I guess, is the rumor, put out this thing at the end of the Dawn of Justice trailer. They said it was like a freeze frame, a capture of an international trailer, and that we were going to see a surprise Enter the Night part of Dawn of Justice coming in October this year. And And you know, this is like an example of a collective. Everybody closed their eyes and was just knew it wasn't possible. Just imagined, I want it to be true so bad that everybody closed their eyes and just pretended. What did you guys think? Did you guys believe it at all?
No, I think it's so mean because at this point we're so desperate for something that we'll grasp at anything. So anybody putting out a little bit of cornflake, whatever it is, we're like, oh, feed me. I'll take it. I'm starving. Give me DC. It's so mean. It's so mean. And if people are saying they might be behind it, and if they are, oh, stop messing with my heart.
Well, first off, let's not rule out the fact that this might be true. I mean, we don't know for sure. It could be a swerve.
I was gonna talk to you about this. So Henry Cavill took to his Twitter and he said Batman v Superman is not being split into two movies. So if it's a swerve, but I'm just saying, here's what I think. Tell me what you think. I think Warner Brothers can't respond to every BS rumor. Because that's not their job to. But they can say, Henry, you have permission to tweet on sort of on our behalf without it really being on our behalf. Because if Henry comes out and says it's not being split into two, then Superman's coming out looking like a fool. And I don't want Superman looking like a boob.
But once again, it could be a total swerve. Because think about it this way. If they do release it in October, which I forget what the date was, 21st or something, they were...
October 23rd, I think.
Proclaiming... I mean, it's actually a pretty good time. You look at all the major movies after that. You got Hunger Games not till November 20th. You got Star Wars a week before Christmas and Mission Impossible 5 on Christmas Day. I mean, that movie would make a ton of money. There's not a lot of great releases in October. And you look at like what Hunger Games done has done. They've split their movies into two, both making boatloads of money. So if they do release it into two, you know everyone's going to go see them.
People are taking the last book of every single series and releasing it into two. It's a big thing. But I want to go back to something that you had said about them not being able to respond to every rumor because it's not their job. I feel like it is their job. I feel like that's totally their job.
Internet rumors that they have to come and make an official statement
as
Warner Brothers?
This isn't a tiny rumor. This is like a huge rumor about the movie getting split into two movies.
Yeah, but whose fault is it that it's a huge rumor? Just because people want it to be true. It's not like there's...
Right, but why don't they come out... If it's not true, then why don't they just come out and say really quickly, hey, this isn't true?
Well, I guess that's what I'm opining that... That they're having Henry Cavill do.
Yeah, but if they're having him do it and it is true, that's messed up. Like you're saying, I don't want Superman to look like a douche.
Yeah, he's not lying.
Well, I'm starting a rumor. Next week, we're going to have a two-part episode.
So that's right. This is actually the second part of our two-part episode that we haven't even aired.
Big cliffhanger at the end. We haven't figured it out yet.
So I guess if it was true, I would be the happiest person in the world. It will be the greatest trick that the devil ever, you know, pulled off, proving the world he did exist. And then you have this surprise blockbuster film. Who knows?
So you're saying that the devil is releasing?
Yeah,
the devil?
I was confused about that, too.
I was making a Kaiser Sose reference.
He's got a busy schedule. Okay.
Some of us might not have seen that
coming
movie.
Up to help out for a little bit. All right.
So I think it's probably BS. I think our hearts have all been played with.
Yeah, it's like Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's exactly like Backstreet Boys. 100%.
So.
Okay. Moving on. So that's pretty much all the movie news. Was there any other movie stuff you guys wanted to talk about? I wanted to talk about some TV stuff.
No, but I did want to address something while we're moving on to TV.
Please.
So a lot of you guys are commenting on the YouTube, which, by the way, we read all your comments, and we love you guys, about how you wish that we were DC news, not just DC movie news.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is a network. We talk mostly about movies, but we do try to give you guys anything major in the TV world because it is DC related. We will be talking about it. Of course, we have a very long time till movies come out, so inevitably, we will be talking about TV at points.
And keep in mind, when the show started, we didn't exactly get a choice on what the show was. They put us together and said, this is the show, this is what we're talking about, but now we can branch off a little bit and do some more stuff. But it's not like we created the show like, it's just DC movie news. No, it's a collaborative effort.
And so, again, that's where you guys come in for questions. If you're tweeting questions at us and you want to know something about TV, hopefully we'll be able to answer it here on the show.
And we appreciate you defending us against trolls.
And back to you in the studio.
Devin Gray of Dexter fame and many other credits will be playing a version of the Trickster on The Flash, the Axel Walker version of The Flash, not to be confused.
Axel Foley.
Not to be confused with Axel Foley or Axel Rose or the James Jesse version of the Trickster, the role that will be reprised by the person who played it in the 90s, Mr. Mark Hamill.
Let's hope he's still dressed like a bad acid trip in the Groove is in the Heart video.
Also not to be confused with Cockknocker, whom Hamill also played in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Can you imagine naming your kid that?
Cockknocker?
What if that was your given last name? Then what do you do?
You change it, tough. Obviously.
It's a tough life.
Or just, you know, change the spelling.
So I think it's pretty, it's become like a weekly thing where this is, now this announcement will be the Trickster appearing in episode 17 of The Flash. It's become almost like a every other day thing that we're getting the announcement of another Flash villain. They're not pulling out any of the stops. They're pulling them all out with The Flash here. I mean, and there's even like, there's multiple versions. There's siblings. What do you guys think of all this Flash news?
I love when we're pulling. I mean, I watch all TV shows, so I love when we pull from one show that I love to another show. I especially love when it's somebody like Mark who was back on and the whatever it is. So this is great. This is great.
Now, what
learning
is it,
all different characters.
What do you think with this younger guy playing the Trickster and Mark Hamill, who's a little bit older, playing the Trickster? Do you think that one of them is going to be kind of the main Trickster and maybe inheriting the mantle?
Well, I think the... Well, go ahead.
You would have to assume that Mark Hamill is playing the main Trickster, or at least
I
would.
But here's the thing, though. Storyline-wise, I think the younger... I mean, I think New 52, maybe, the younger one actually steals all the gadgets from Jesse.
And maybe...
And then he becomes the new Trickster. They end up battling it out. So who gets all the explosive teddy bears? I don't know. That's the question.
Maybe they're both going to be guest starring, though, so it's not like either one is going to be spending an epic amount of time there.
Yeah, they'll probably team up, but I'm just saying he might steal.
I think I like Laquasto's theory. I think you're going to see that kind of thing, almost like borrowing a little bit from the Ant-Man story that we know is coming out, or at least the Stephen Lang Ant-Man, the idea that the new Trickster inherits it from the old. That's what I think. Hopefully we'll get to see Mark Hamill in full Trickster attire again.
Oh, man, hopefully. That's awesome. I'm so glad Mark Hamill's doing it.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's had a long career.
He is so game for anything. You get the feeling this guy is so grateful and he's so up for anything.
That's how you have to be. You really do.
Anything that we're talking about casting now, I just get so nervous to get attached to anybody because it can just get ripped right from you.
Relax.
It's true.
Relax, Rox.
Keeping in the DC world of television, some news came out about the details for the new Greg Berlanti-produced Supergirl show that's going to be on CBS. Among those details with the idea that it will most likely be somewhat of a procedural, as CBS is known for, and at least to begin with, it's not going to be crossing over with the Arrow and Flash universes. They want to keep her off to her own. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think that's a mistake?
Well, I already said my favorite moment of the year was the crossover. So I love crossovers.
The crossover.
I think as long as they keep their options open, and they're not casting the same actor to play different roles in both worlds, and maybe they can have a crossover eventually, then I'm okay with it. But the second they close that door, I'm going to be a little upset because they do have this opportunity, as opposed to with Gotham where they don't because different networks run by different people.
Here's the thing. The lady from CBS who was interviewed brought up shows like The Good Wife and Lois and Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope this show is nothing like either one of those, because that would really go towards the campy side of things.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it has to be intense like Gotham, because I love me some Gotham. I'm just saying Lois and Clark was really kind of just like, you almost feel like you should have the whoopee cushion after every scene was over.
Yeah, but...
Yes. And I enjoyed it too, but it was for a different time. Absolutely.
Yeah, they say Supergirl is going to be, you know, relatable, have a lot of human-like qualities, and go through a struggle, become an independent woman. Well, then have it that way. Don't go like the cheesier route.
Yeah, but don't you feel like yes, Arrow is darker, but The Flash is a little campy sometimes, and I think people love it because of that. So yeah. I think there's a happy balance. As if it finds itself somewhere between The Flash and Arrow, that would be a good space for it to live.
Mentioning Good Wife and Lois and Clark's a little odd.
I agree, and it's going to be interesting to see, because this is CBS. This is America's most not watched network. CW is like one of the least watched networks, so you can get away with a lot more. So there's going to be a lot more eyeballs on this Supergirl, which does make me nervous, because they're going to have to try to appeal to a much broader audience.
Oh, yeah, CBS is... just dominate.
I don't watch any shows on CBS.
No, so
I don't, but it's the most watched network, and I don't watch any shows on
CBS.
Thanks,
Big Brother. Whatever else is on there.
I gotta say, while I remain cautiously optimistic, I think, before anybody asks, no, I think this is definitely a sign we're not gonna see Supergirl in the DCCU for some time. And I'm nervous. I'm nervous about it. But cautiously optimistic, and I hope that they do keep the door open so that it could possibly cross over. But again, once you throw a Kryptonian into the mix, it really throws the balance of power off. It's really hard to balance anything with a Kryptonian.
Throne Talk says, too many universes is good. Hashtag crisis.
Crisis.
Yeah.
I'm in a crisis. Speaking of the Flash and Arrow universe,
let's talk about
the man who once was, I mean, DC seems to do this a lot, right? They take people who have played other DC characters and they have them play other roles in other parts of the universe, such as like Annette O'Toole. Was it Annette O'Toole who played Lana Lang in Superman 3? And then she played Clark's mom, John Wesley Shipp, who was the Flash. Now he's the Flash's dad.
Born in the darkness.
Oh, yes, of course. Bane, Tom Hardy, who's like, I've already been one DC character, and now I will not be another.
I cannot be two characters.
I cannot be two characters. So Bane Cat will be playing Rick Flagg.
I got nothing.
Brandon Routh, who once upon a time was Superman in Bryan Singer's movie, more on that later, has been featured as Ray Palmer.
Sure.
We knew that this was leading to an Adam appearance.
Right.
They've kind of... teased us a little bit. Ralph has gone on the record saying that this is going to be slightly a different incarnation of Adam. But then recently, producers have announced that it is in fact their intention to spin this off into another Adam show. Does that surprise you, Johnny Loquasto?
Well, as far as using him in a different role?
Just as far as using the Adam for its own show as another
spin-off
series.
Oh, I think it depends on which way they go with it, but I love the idea of the fact that, you know, he's a physicist who can shrink himself to a microscopic level to, you know, help save the world. I think that's unlike anything we've seen so far. And as far as using him for another role, I get it. Like, these are high budget projects. As much as I love seeing new people get mm-hmm. opportunities, they're not going to be big risk takers. So they're like, all right, we use them in the past. It worked. Let's just make sure that, you know, because you got to keep so many people happy when you're making a show.
Yeah.
If they know someone, and that's part of the problem with Hollywood, it's so hard to, like, be successful because no one wants to give anyone a shot. So, of course, they're going to keep it safe and stick with him. And he's handsome. So what the hell?
I think that it just shows how far TV has come, that we are taking somebody who was Superman in a feature and he was agreeing to be on a show, and now he's thinking about having his own spinoff. So I don't know. Would I like to see it? Yes. It's a little complicated because if you're watching Arrow,
uh-huh.
then you're seeing what's going on with him and Felicity.
Right.
And that's complicated enough, especially if you're hashtag shipping Olicity.
You know what they say? It's complicated.
It is complicated.
Is that what they say?
I'm pretty sure that's what we say. That's mm-hmm. what people say. What I like to see, he's doing a great job at the role.
I would be shocked if when he first took this role, producers weren't saying, like, look, just do your thing. There'll be an Adam show.
Right. That's what I was thinking,
we'll get
too.
You an Adam series.
Weren't you surprised you took it in general at first?
I think that this has always been in the works. Absolutely.
People like to work. I mean, there's no gray area anymore. The days of, like, just being a movie star is over. You look at major stars taking guest star roles on one episode of a sitcom.
Tom Hardy is on, like, several shows. He's, like, in Peaky Blinders. I just heard he's doing another TV show. Like, and he's the
biggest amazing.
Star.
People just want to work. I mean, you can get major stars for low-budget projects.
I think it's cool, too. And from what we've seen of what this costume is probably going to look like, just from, like, the computer, the virtual reality versions of it, I'm excited. I really hope it's cool. And the timing will be right with Ant-Man, too, because Ant-Man's coming out in July. And then, like, right around that time, I bet by fall, we've got an Adam series. So it's like, oh, to scratch that miniaturization itch, we got the Adam.
Might be a little early, but you never know.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. TV seems to work quicker, though.
True. Yeah,
you know,
really
if they get
quick.
Working on it, I'm talking fall, so I'm saying like maybe 9 months from now, I bet they could have a pilot.
So the length,
I agree.
The length of a pregnancy. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
Oh, they're birthing a pilot.
Yes. See? The gestation period of an
Atom.
I thought
I felt something kicking.
You knew I was going with that. Oh, God.
It's weird. I don't know. I'll take that one back.
So we already talked a little bit about the...
can't do it.
I already talked about the Throne of Atlantis premiere. But...
Yes, you did.
We want to mention, it was also just announced what the next direct-to-video film is going to be. And that's going to be Batman versus Robin.
Yeah. That's odd.
The script is going to be written by J.M. DeMatteis, who's one of my favorite comic book authors, like did some great Spider-Man runs. This is going to basically be an animated version of the first Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo run of the New 52. We're talking about the Court of Owls here, which people every week are saying like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to see the talent of the Court of Owls of the DCCU?
Ooh, which one's that? Yeah. What voice is that one?
Oh,
a new
I forgot.
One.
He's in the chat room. He's in the chat room. He left a voice text. That was his room.
That was him.
I'm super excited about this. So Jason Amara is going to be back voicing Batman. He's been doing it. I know we all want to see Kevin Conroy do everything all the time, but I think that Warner Brothers direct video is trying to establish a new continuity. But you will get Kevin Conroy playing Thomas Wayne.
Is that enough for you?
It's a nice little nod. No, okay. Jason Amara does a good job. He's been doing a really good job. He was in Batman and Robin, Assault on... was it Assault on Arkham? No, it was Kevin Conroy in Assault on Arkham, I think.
Well, you're
too distracted by some other things.
You failed to mention another name that's going to be in Batman versus Robin.
Why don't you tell us? Johnny LaCosta.
That is none other than one of my heroes. Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, that's right. Weird Al Yankovic playing the Dollmaker. Yes.
Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah.
So, LaQuasto.
What?
What do you think about this news?
Why not? Are you kidding me? I mean, Weird Al is... my favorite movie of all time happens to be UHF. I didn't wear this shirt on purpose. I just happened to wear it today.
I think you might have.
Bust it out. Show the people.
Classic 1989 Weird Al. It opened up against Indiana Jones and got demolished in theaters, but it's fantastic. Anyway,
we've talked about UHF on the show, I want to say, before.
Probably.
Because every time it comes up, I always think of the one scene when he splits the Twinkie open, puts a hot dog on there, and throws Easy Cheese down.
Weird Al came into studio the other day. Good guy.
Amazing.
Really?
Did he?
Yeah, really did.
Was he here?
Next time you better.
Did he sit right here? Is this where... Am I smelling?
Are you going to kiss the... Oh. Okay.
Was this possibly Weird Al's butt space?
I pissed in that little box.
Is this... Wow.
I didn't expect it to go that...
Wow. No, I'm a big fan. That's all.
Anyways, him as Dollmaker, I think it's... If he's going to play any character, I think it's perfect. The funny thing is, like... Would we have like a Dollmaker versus Trickster kind of thing? They both create toys that blow up in front of people. That'd be kind of cool.
Could be. I don't think the Trickster was part of the Corvallis, but
I'm saying it's not going to happen. But him as Dollmaker, you know, when you just... Yes. Why not?
You're allowed to dream. You're allowed to dream.
Yeah.
Roxy, are you familiar with the story at all, the Court of Owls?
No.
Well, basically,
you were telling me about it.
I'll say just the basic gist of it really quick is that it explores Gotham as a character in parts of the mythos of Gotham that Bruce Wayne did not know about. And there's this whole cult called the Court of Owls, and their champion is this... this figure known as the Talon, and the Talon has been many people or many entities throughout time, but there's always been the Talon, and he's a great badass to go one-on-one with Batman, and it's a great story, and I am super excited. So check out Throne of Atlantis.
I love learning.
And then this is really exciting to look forward to. Oh, also, I want to mention Jay Oliva is going to be directing it, who's directed a lot of the DC direct films, but it also came out that he was doing a lot of the storyboarding for Dawn of Justice. So I love that synchronicity. I love the fact that lets me know that the people making the movies are aware of how good Warner Brothers animated films are.
And Batman versus Robin, that's just, I don't know.
Weird title.
Which way that's going to...
It's weird because it's the Damian Wayne version, so it's like Batman's son, and he's a cantankerous little butt plug.
Right.
I feel like you have to always know which way that's going to go,
I would imagine all butt plugs are rather cantankerous.
Cantankerous? Yeah, well... You know, it really depends.
It's a word I don't use.
I think this has gone somewhere where I'd like to get out of pretty quick.
I didn't mean to refer to Bruce
like
Wayne's son as a butt plug.
Trying to get
out
of it.
You know, much like a few weeks ago, I did not mean to infer that Batman and Superman were a hot item. But, you know, sometimes...
You did not infer... No, that was not a butt. You said it specifically.
They sure are a hot ticket.
Also, continuing with the animated news, this is interesting. So CW has this thing called CW Seed.
Yep.
Which is like a digital space.
Which is great.
So there's going to be a Vixen animated show.
Yeah.
Which exists within the same universe as Flash and Arrow. So this is going to be a digital only. Maybe it's a launching pad for a potential Vixen show. Vixen, she kind of makes animals do things. Kind of like a sexier version of Beast Boy, almost.
Oh, she's...
She doesn't become them, but...
Well, she's from Africa. And she basically... I don't want to say like a Dr. Doolittle, but yeah, she controls animals, and that's how she... Get stuff done. And
she gets it done.
And she looked good. And so I think animated, it'd be great to have
with her tattoo totem.
I'm all about CW Seed. They do.
What is it?
So it started, you know, as like Netflix and Hulu and all those things were creating their own content. And
right.
CWC was doing the same thing, and they found some really great show. And I remember I used to watch somewhere randomly this show called Husbands, and then CWC picked it up. It's basically like a launching, if there's enough viewers, they will put it on air kind of thing. But they have some really, really cool content. And they are allowed to have shorter shows, so some of the shows are only 7 minutes. Some of them are 20 minutes.
So you think that there's a good chance these won't be like full 23-minute episodes?
It depends on how much money they're willing to put into it and how well they're doing. I think that they'll grow. I think they'll probably start a little shorter, though.
What do you guys think of this? I want to know what you think of the seed, and do you think that this is a way to test the popularity of the character before possibly launching it into a live-action show?
Yeah.
Totally, absolutely.
They got to start vetting these characters somehow because, as people are saying, they're spreading their TV world a little thin.
Let me ask you this. If I had to guess, I would guess that Stephen Amell and Grant Gustin will be supplying voices. Because I know Stephen Amell did the voice for the Lego movie, like Lego Batman. This dude is talking about people that are game.
Yeah.
He's a great proponent for the CW. And
he, I love that he stands up for people.
He's great. Just, he's a great public face. Dude, he recognizes the fans. I would imagine they're going to get those guys to do the voices.
He is game. I interviewed him on Access Live about a year and a half ago now.
Oh, cool.
And actually really cool dude. Like he's got the look like he'd be obnoxious, but he was cool. It was a good interview.
He's got the look that he's like, damn you, you're so good looking.
Yeah,
please at least be a jerk.
Yeah.
Give me something.
I think I thanked him for making me feel ugly.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's about to happen now on the show is somewhat of a surprise to my co-host right here. This is something new.
Kind of freaking out.
King, we don't know what's happening.
If King Famous is in the room, would King Famous please come up to the booth? So this is a little something we've been working on. My friend King Famous and I, who is a musician in the Los Angeles Hollywood area, and basically we just wanted to do something different for you for the show. As you know, we've got a long time before any of these major films are coming till 2016. So we need to come up with some other things to do. How you doing down there? He's not that short. It's just a chair.
I could pump myself.
You could pump that up a little bit.
So,
you know, we thought we would come up with a little something for you, the fans.
Wait, are you guys about to do a ditty?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do a ditty.
Okay.
If that was not clear, so we have a little ditty that we've worked out.
Do you need us to, like, back up, sing or dance or something? I'm a pretty good snapper.
Roxy,
I got that.
We need a second chair for Mr. Famous, please.
Everybody at home, as you get it, we're just getting it set up. As you catch on, I'm sure this is going to be setting iTunes on fire. It's probably going to be a hit single very soon.
A reason we get a lot of thumbs down. We'll see what happens.
Yes. Oh, this is exciting. We're actually performing this live.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, basically, a lot of you have looked to the past of DC Warner Brothers films and have sort of like made fun of some of the negative things that have gone on, and fairly so.
Okay.
But we want to be positive. We want to look forward to a bright future, many wonderful Warner Brothers DC films. So what we'd like to do is a bit of farewell to the past, because as has been said before, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. Nope, don't do that clapping. That's going to mess me up. As Adam Sandler once said, definitely mess me up. We did not rehearse with clapping. Superman the movie, starring Christopher Reeve. Man could fly, you made us believe.
In Superman 2, our hopes got higher and higher. In Superman 3, we got Richard Pryor.
Superman 4, the quest for peace. By the time the credits rolled, that franchise was deceased.
Supergirl bombed so bad, the Salkin sold the rights. It was almost the end of the blue and red tights.
And Peter O'Toole nearly killed his career. Spent the next 10 years drowning in beer.
But was it good enough?
Not quite.
Was it good enough?
Helen Slater looked kind of tight.
Oh. I hope it's good enough.
Most of the critics would say no.
Oh, it's gonna be good enough.
It's time to give it another go.
The Swamp Thing costume looked like a green plastic bag.
Yeah, but it still gets love from some of us hardcore fans.
We had some great Batman movies with Michael Keaton. But then came Schumacher and all the fans were beaten.
Carrie's Riddler was silly. Tommy Lee's Two-Face was loud. The infamous bat nipples. George Clooney was not proud.
But was Man of Steel.
good enough to get the DCCU up to snuff. And could the dawn of justice could be the way to forget the past and start a bright new day. Superman returns, star Brandon Routh. We met the super baby, it went super south. Singer promised a foe worthy of Superman's might. Instead we got an island made of kryptonite.
Perhaps the greatest offense to all us DC fans was the abomination known as Catwoman. Holly Berry played a woman with the powers of a cat, but it was not Selena Kyle.
Yeah, what the hell was up in that?
But what's the man?
You know what, King Davis? As bad as that was, it almost was a lot worse because we almost got a Superman movie called Superman Lives, and it was going to be directed by Tim Burton and written by Kevin Smith. And I know that sounds kind of cool on paper, but you know that could have gone weird. And it was going to be starring Nicolas Cage, and I also could be kind of weird, but they were going to make sure that he didn't wear the classic Superman costume and he couldn't fly, and the producer insisted that no matter what else, he had to fight a giant spider. And the giant spider actually came about in the stupid Jonah Hex movie.
Jonah Hex left me perplexed. From what I hear, it was quite a mess.
Wait, you didn't even see it?
No. Did you?
Definitely not. In brightest day, in darkest night, please let that crappy Green Lantern movie just escape my sight. But was Man of Steel good enough to get the DCCU up to snuff? And could Dawn of Justice could be the way to forget the past and start a bright new day?
And it's coming up.
I mean, we're gonna get a Suicide Squad movie. We're getting multiple Justice League movies. We're getting a Wonder Woman movie. We're getting
coming up.
Green Lantern movie and a Shazam movie. Flash movie.
Coming to a theater near.
I mean, we're even getting a cyborg movie, for God's sake. Man of Steel. Good enough to get the DCCU up to snuff.
And the Dawn of Justice could be the way
to forget the past and start a bright new day. And the Dawn of Justice could be the way to forget the past and start a bright new day. King Famous, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Wow.
Adam Gerber.
Thank you. Wow. That was really good.
Yes.
If I had roses and a bra, I'd be throwing them on the stage right now. That was phenomenal.
Thank you so much.
To do that live.
Yeah.
And nail it to perfection. Even going off beat and talking and ranting and then jumping right back in. By God.
People want it available on iTunes. That's what they're saying.
Well, we'll work on that. King Famous is a good friend of mine. We've known each other for a long time. Go to kingfamous.com. Follow him on Twitter, at King Famous. And hopefully, if you guys like that, we'll do some more of those as it goes on.
Next week, Roxy and I are writing a gangsta rap song.
Oh, excellent.
So that's
the all-new, all-musical DC movie news.
We said we were keeping that
secret. Do you got to get back to Hollywood? Or?
I do. It's time for me to return to the streets of Hollywood.
Oh, well, okay. King Famous,
you guys both.
Streets is watches.
Sorry you can't hang out. Thanks so much for coming by. We really appreciate it.
That was phenomenal.
Thank you, guys.
Talk about covering everything.
Well, we really did try to cover the past.
Yeah, people are saying that you nailed everything. Getting a lot of love in here. I'm thinking this is a new career for you.
You missed an Alicia Silverstone reference.
But oh, you're so right. We could just go do tangents just about Schumacher
movies.
I'm
kidding. Totally kidding.
Do we still have time? I don't even know how long have we been
going
for.
We're at 38 minutes.
Great. So,
how do you know that?
Because I looked on the screen.
I'm so glad you did, because the time is all messed up.
Look at the YouTubes.
I would like to perhaps take some Twitter questions, YouTube questions, whatever we got.
We actually ran down all the news. I didn't think we would.
We got through it.
We kind of.
I was nervous the whole time. I was thinking about the song. That's why you might have noticed I was more quiet than sometimes.
All right, so here's the thing. Number one, right now, if you are watching live, make sure you chat in your questions. Number two, a lot of questions this week were more like rants with question marks.
Okay.
So, We're gonna get to some of those, but we'll start with, this is from Jay Coolo.
Yeah.
Wants to know, isn't the current rumor that a Green Lantern will show up at the end of Justice League Part 1 to warn of Darkseid coming to Earth? Have you guys heard that?
I mean, isn't that what I said on the show last week? I don't know if I had heard that before or if I just want that to be true. So
did you start the rumor?
that could be one of those things where, like, I don't know if I actually heard it someplace else. Maybe I did, and I want it to be true so much.
I mean,
I think it sounds great. What do you think?
It would be a hell of a cliffhanger.
Mm. I want a cliffhanger.
You need a cliffhanger.
Yeah, you need a big cliffhanger. Yeah. But I don't want a cliffhanger enough that it's not a standalone movie.
Yeah.
You know, which a lot of people are doing these days.
Well, I think there's going to be a big villain. There's going to be a big battle. And I think it will definitely lead into what is going to be part two. I mean, I also think that it would be too early to introduce the Green Lantern in the beginning. And certainly not in Dawn of Justice. And Justice League Part 1, I say leave it mostly to Justice League Part 2 because we're going to be getting that new Green Lantern movie. And I know it's not possible, but when you watch Throne of Atlantis, you're going to be begging that they could just make Nathan Fillion Green Lantern tomorrow.
Okay.
He's got this scene with Batman in Gotham where it's so funny.
Tomorrow could be a little quick.
Is it available to the public?
It's actually available for digital download today, now, as of Tuesday, I believe. But it comes out on Blu-ray on the 27th.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
But, I mean, there's this one scene where he's just... His timing is great. It's really... I found a little bit about the process, too, where they record all the voices and then they send off to animation. So the performers are more free.
There's an amazing art to voiceover. It's great.
It's really
You're a voiceover artist yourself, are you not?
Yeah. I mean, I've not done an animated movie, but I've got a couple commercial campaigns and...
And the games, the video games.
Oh, yeah, a couple video games. Yeah. It's really fun.
All right, cool. Moving on to Bart. Bart Jacasa wants to know, when do you think Martian Manhunter will appear? So I guess that when could also be a if.
Yeah.
Do you think? So what movie, if we're going to see him at all, are we going to see him in? He's just a very difficult character to explain in a brief setting if he's not going to have his own movie. What do you guys think?
I don't think we're going to see him.
I mean, they're making it seem like we're not going to see Martian Manhunter, which would again mean that his inclusion would be a surprise. You know, I've heard some creators, I think it was like David Goyer who spoke out being anti-Martian Manhunter, but I don't even think he's involved in making the films anymore.
Would you want to see his character?
Sure. I mean, done well. I mean, there's such a deep roster of Justice League characters over the years. There's 100 you could choose.
But he's not top 10 for you that you'd want to see.
No, I'd rather see Hawkman. I'd rather see Thangarians. I want to see the Hawkverse.
Okay. All right, moving on. So the BizGamer9 wants to know, do you guys think that if there's a Batman movie in 2019, it should introduce Bruce Wayne's son, Damian Wayne? Great question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
I don't think so. I think it's just a layer of complicatedness that I think it's too in-universe.
So don't you think that they should ever introduce his son in a movie?
Know.
But don't you think Batman's story is going to be all kind of, at that point... Don't you think it'd be time to introduce a new wrinkle?
Yeah, perhaps. I guess I'm not really a big fan of the son of Batman being the cantankerous Robin character. Mm. I don't love it so much, so I personally don't want to see it in the movies. I do want to see Robin. I've gone on record saying I want to see a Carrie Kelly. I know that's not very popular. Mm.
I just think
Robin's Dick Grayson. I mean, Robin should be Dick Grayson, if anything.
Robin's Burt Ward, let's be honest, guys.
That's right. He's really Burt Ward.
As far as going back to introducing his son in the movies, I think that if 2019 is going to depend on what we get from him before then.
Because then you'd have to be introducing Talia al Ghul again, and we just kind of dealt with her in the last movie.
But I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Coming back so quick, you don't think that's retreading territory pretty recently?
I just think because something covered, like, that'd be like saying we shouldn't see the Joker again, you know?
No, not like that at all.
A little bit.
It's a little bit of a more minor character than that.
Yeah, more minor, but it's like, just because somebody just portrayed somebody doesn't mean that we shouldn't see them again. Obviously, there's a lot of other issues surrounding seeing the Joker again, but I'm just saying I don't think we should be afraid to reuse characters if they're great characters.
So you would like to see her? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
would like to see Talia.
I'm just saying I love Ra's al Ghul, but I'm just saying I don't know what's going to happen by 2019. It's going to depend.
None of us have any clue what's going to happen.
Right? It's just so far off that would I want to see the son introduced then? It will depend if it was necessary by then.
I'm going to say no.
And you're going to say
I'm going to agree.
Okay, this is one of those rants. From Jim Mills.
Oh, that's a long one. Are you going to read the whole thing?
No, no. We'll stop at the question mark.
Whoa.
And to the Wonder Woman haters, think about this. Ooh. If she really does have her solo film starting in 1920s, mm-hmm. and she's been training to be badass since the birth for around 100 years, she's been trained warrior, trained by who you say? The god of war. Okay, basically this whole rant is about whether we think that her body and everything is up to par, which we said mm-hmm. maybe it was, but with everybody saying that the Instagram picture definitely wasn't real.
Sure.
I went and stalked her a little bit, mm-hmm. and I still think it's up to par. I still think she's up to par.
Do you think the Instagram picture was real?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. No questions. So what's the rant about, per se? Like, what are we talking about?
They're just talking about the Wonder Woman haters and that people hating on it being set in the 1920s and people hating on her, and there just being so much hate around the movie in general.
I love that.
I love it being set in the 20s.
Me too.
And about her new 52 character, yeah. and about whether there will be romance and all of that. There's just been a lot of hate around the movie.
Oh, I could also say, also in Throne of Atlantis, the Clark Wonder Woman Lois relationship is dealt with, given a couple of really cool scenes.
Okay.
Wonder Woman as a whole is portrayed great. Rosario Dawson does a great job.
She's awesome, yeah.
I
love, if it is set in the 20s.
Oh, and Cyborg too. Cyborg in Throne of Atlantis.
Okay.
He's got like a RoboCop kind of vibe to it. I mean, you just see where they can go. It's there is a strong story there. And I agree with you. I hope that they do the whole trilogy in different past periods.
Dude, that'd be real. Because the 20s was such a fascinating time in history. I mean, you had Prohibition. You had the Mafia literally in control of everything. It was just such an incredible time period to where you could put a character and a story into that.
And at a time when, like, women are at their most inferior in society.
Very true. As a
that's going to be a great juxtaposition to have, like, this warrior princess.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
She ain't going to dress like a flapper. We know that much.
I'm just sick of hearing all the hate, and I love to hear you guys say the word great. Hate, great.
Great.
Cover it. Okay.
Okay, what else?
Coming from Samwise10 wants to know, with DC spending so much money on marketing, $2 billion a year to be exact, do you think WB will release a Super Bowl trailer?
I don't think we're going to see a Batman v Superman trailer during the Super Bowl.
No.
Because?
No, not during the Super Bowl.
I still think, I still like the Jupiter Ascending odds.
Yeah. Those commercials look so weird.
Yeah. They could. I mean, it would be awesome if it happened during the Super Bowl. There are a lot of eyeballs on the Super Bowl. Well, I guess the biggest argument against it is people saying, like, oh, but there's still so much time. You know, they could do it for the Super Bowl. Well, I guess really the Super Bowl next year, it'll be like a month before. We'll have seen a lot of trailers by then.
Next year's Super Bowl, that's all we're going to see.
You know what? I mean, look, I don't think it's going to happen, but man, that would make the Super Bowl. That would be the one that everybody was talking about. And
that
it could
would make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think? Katy Perry's making the Super Bowl?
Depending on what. Teenage Dream is the best song of the decade.
It definitely ain't the football. If last year's Super Bowl is any indication.
If the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, then that's what makes the Super Bowl. Yeah, if not, then the trailer will make it for me.
It all depends.
Boston strong. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm always flipping between the Cat Bowl and the commercials. I very rarely notice the actual football.
Bowl. Never seen the Cat Bowl.
Oh, guys, come on. You got to be a sports fan. All right, we're moving on.
Sports fan.
Do I?
King Sport, Cal. So, wow, coincidence, sport. Question, who is the panel's second favorite DC superhero? Interesting question.
Number two.
Second favorite?
You're number two.
Oh, geez.
Have we even set our number ones? I guess we don't say that.
I think we've kind of already talked about it.
You got to go number two, though. Who's your number two? All right, Adam, we got to start with you.
Well,
we know you're number one. It's very apparent.
Batman is my number one.
Yeah, we know that one.
And I guess I gotta go Superman number two.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I gotta, if you look at my comic book collection, that you're gonna see a lot of Batman, a lot of Superman, a lot less of everything else.
I was thinking we were going to get a Nightwing from you. You do rock the shirt a lot.
I love the shirt. I like the character a lot. But, you know, at my most collecting, I was collecting like 4 to 5 of each of those titles a month. There was Superman. There was Man of Steel. There was Action Comics. There was Adventures of Superman. And I was getting them all like a fiend. And I had Dark Knight, Legends of Dark Knight, Detective Comics, Batman. It was just, they had all my money. Yeah. I was like a fiend. I was a junkie waiting on Wednesdays for the new comics to be delivered. Ain't you comics here yet? Ain't you comics here yet? Please. Wait, what's my drawback?
No, no, keep going.
Send a few texts out.
All right. So, you know, there is a very intense 12-step process for people like you. And I can start you on that today if you need.
What's your second favorite DC superhero?
You know, I hate to say it after that rant because, oof, but I got to go Superman too. I was just home back in Boston and I forgot about all of the Superman things all over my room. I have a big life-size Superman doll in my room. And I have also just like everything on the wall.
Life-size?
All Superman. Yeah, it's really big.
Like 6 foot
I was going to bring it back. Yeah, but like floppy. You know, like you could go somewhere and you get a floppy bear instead of a floppy Superman.
Floppy Superman?
It's a floppy Superman.
Yeah. What about you? You got a number two?
I mean, I don't want to say Batman's too easy. I already talk about Aquaman a lot. I'm going to go a little more obscure.
Okay.
I'm going Jonah Hex because I love me, an honorary badass son of a bitch.
Great.
And I love the mystery of Rorschach. So I'm going to go maybe those two.
Ooh, that's great. You went Watchmen style. I like that. Watchmen is a great character. I mean, Rorschach is a great character.
Just shady and mysterious. That's kind of what I meant. Like Batman, you know.
It's always so hard to think of your second. Like, everybody has their first favorite.
What about you guys? What do you think? Number two heroes. Give us, like, your strong number twos. I know Batman and Superman are super obvious.
That's why
you call me that
all
day long.
But
look. I gotta be honest. If I said anything else, I'd be like trying to pick another one. But I do love when Superman was Gangbuster. That was kind of cool. Like Superman kind of went insane for a while, and he became this guy Gangbuster, and he went out in the streets and he would be like beating people up all the time.
Nice.
And then he realized that he was like having like a schizophrenic break, he actually kicked himself off the planet and went off world for a while, and then eventually ended up fighting people on a planet as a gladiator. And he grew a beard and he lost his shirt and he just had a Superman tights on, and then he had like this yellow apparatus so he could breathe, and
he had the full beard.
Sounds like a rough bender.
It's exactly what it was. I think Dan Jurgens
1920s
that.
Wonder Woman. What the hell? Strong consideration.
All right, what about one more, and then let's get out of here.
We're at 50 plus minutes now.
Oh, yeah, we should bid a fond farewell.
Should we cut it out?
Oh, okay.
What was there another?
We'll see if there are questions.
Was there one final question?
I have a lot of final questions. They're really coming in through.
Give us a good question. What?
I don't know if we're going to be able to have a strong answer for this, but we'll see. Danny B. Reviews wants to know, who would be the most difficult character to adapt to live action? So,
I think I got a good answer for that.
Yeah, what is it?
I think I've said it before. Mr. Miss Piddalick.
Mr. Miss Piddalick.
Mr. Miss Piddalick. Mr. Mitzelplicked.
When the hell did you mention that before? You've never once
said
that.
I think maybe I mentioned it like online to someone. You know, the little imp from the fifth dimension?
How are we supposed to know that?
No, you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that. I just meant I had an answer.
One time in my life, I once mentioned it.
I think
Martian Manhunter would be very hard. I just think that it would be difficult, and that's why they're staying away.
Well, I mean... That's true. He's just an alien character. He could be like any other alien character. I think the reason I picked Mr. Mitzelpiddalick because his tone is always very comical. He's like always, it's always like, it's not usually a serious issue when he's involved, and he just messes with Superman, and Superman has to trick him into saying his name backwards.
So why is that so hard to adapt?
Because I just think tonally it would be difficult in the universe that they're establishing.
So you think it'd be hard to cast for it?
No, it'd be easy to cast for it. Yeah. I just think it would be hard to express it and have it make sense in the current world.
Oh, because of the no joking thing.
No, just because I think that particular character is very silly.
Look, if they can make multiple sequels to Big Mama's House, anything's possible.
Sure.
Right. And on that note...
Okay.
Get out of here.
All right, thank you very much for watching. It's been a fun episode. I hope you enjoyed and appreciated our musical indulgence. We'll be back next week with a new episode of DC Movie News. I am Adam Gertler. Follow me at Adam Gertler on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Roxy Stryer, and make sure to find our guest tonight at King Famous.
That's right, Johnny LaQuasto at JQuasto, JLOComedy.com.
And of course, you can find us everywhere at Popcorn Talk. You can find us at DC Movies SK on Twitter.
Like the page.
You can go to our Facebook and like us, DC Movie News. We're reading everything you're saying. Keep on sending in your questions. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being the best fans alive.
Farewell.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.